For the past year, I've been taking up a series of studies. In fact, I looked it up. I started in on 2506, and here I am in 2507. So we went through these different studies on the true church. Just list them over again for you. First, it was its beginning. Next, its character. Next, its head, then its structure, its mission, its worship, its gifts, its judgment, its government. Today we take up its destiny. Its destiny. Destiny is heaven. So let's turn to John chapter 14. There's a verse to read, spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John 14 and verse 2. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So first we see from the Lord's spoken word here that heaven is a place. Some people have got the idea that it's sort of a condition that you get into or some state of mind or something, but heaven is a place because the Lord Jesus Christ said so. And also we find that it's the Father's house. The Father's house. It's God's dwelling place. Deuteronomy 26. It says, "Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us." So here we find it is God's dwelling place or his habitation. And then also we find that it's the believer's home. It's our home. We're not at home right now. We have to go to our home. We want to go to our home. And so we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so being, that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So it's the believer's home. It's where his treasures are. It's where our treasures are in heaven. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, reading verse 19. the Lord saying this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's heaven is where our treasures are. And also, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, reading at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So here we find our home is where our treasures are. I got to tell this little story. It's a little different from the one Brother Fields told us last week. He must have heard it down in Guyana, but I heard it somewhere else. And it's about two people died. One was this rich man, and the other was a poor man. And the poor man was taken up into heaven, and the angel guided him and directed him to this wonderful mansion that was prepared for him. And he thought, this is wonderful. I had it so hard on earth, but now look what I have now in heaven. So then the rich man also died, and he thought, oh boy, what am I going to have when I get there? And the angel led him down a street, down a place where it was only little shacks. And he finally came and said, well, this is yours right here. What? He says, I'm not used to this. Well, he says, let me tell you, this is all we could build with what you sent up here. So, we have to be sending up things there, for our treasures are in heaven. Now, where is heaven? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. This is about the Lord Jesus. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. In these verses, I think I repeated it four times. Up. Up. Heaven is up. Now, at this point, I might say that, where is up? According to the scriptures, we find that there are really three heavens. The first heaven is a region around in the clouds that we can see. And then there are the planetary heavens, where the planets are. That's the second heavens. And then the third heavens is the abode of God. So there's the first, second, and third heavens. You know, Apostle Paul was taken up, he said, into the third heavens. And he heard unspeakable things that was impossible for man to utter. And he couldn't utter the things that he saw. It was so great He couldn't speak of it. So, when we say that it's up, it's hard to understand where it really is, but up is up. Philippians 1:23. Apostle Paul says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." So where is heaven? It's with Christ, which is far better. Now, what is heaven like? There's not much that tells us really what heaven is like, but we can find here that some things that heaven is not like. In other words, the negative things that we won't see in heaven. And we have to turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse 4. This is the picture that the Apostle John got on the Isle of Patmos when the Lord revealed to him these things that were to come to pass. And it says in verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So from this verse we find out that there's no death, no death up there. No sorrow. Lots of people have lots of sorrow these days. They don't know how to get out of it. But we're going to find out how to get out of it. And then there's no more pain. I don't know how many of you have pain, but somehow the Lord's blessed me. I don't have any pain. But up in heaven, there's not going to be any pain for anybody. No pain. No more pain. I can't understand it, really, to tell you the truth. I'm 88 years old. And people say, "Well, I've got this, I've got that." And I can't enter into those conversations because I can't say, "Well, I got this and I got that," because I don't have it. Thank the Lord I don't. But maybe it'll come to me one of these days. Anyway, no more pain. Then, this same Revelation 21, verse 21, it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." There will be streets of gold there, of transparent glass. I can't imagine exactly what this means. I know what gold is, but it's not transparent. Transparent means you can see through it, I think. So somehow the streets are going to be gold that you can see through when you walk on them. And also in verse 27 here, "There shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." There will be no sin there. There's sin all about us. There's sin within us. But up there, no sin. No abomination of anything. What a wonderful place this is going to be. All about us, we run into sin all the time. And this world is getting worse and worse in that regard. People are lying, liars and cheaters, and you pick up the paper or you listen to the news reports, and but all you hear is what's gone wrong. Every day, something new is going wrong. And it's because of sinful nature that all of us have, because Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. That's been passed on down to us. But we who are saved can say we're saved sinners. We're saved by the grace of God. So we are so glad that there will be no sin up there. Then in chapter 22, Revelation, verse 1 and 2, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystals, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. It's hard to picture just what it is. I've tried to picture it. It says that there's the river of life. The river is coming in on the street, out of the midst of the throne of God. So here's a river coming down. And then it says, on either side of it, there was a tree of life. A tree of life, which is in the singular. The only thing I could think of is, in the middle is a river coming down. On both sides, there's roots. And it comes up like this, and up here, and here's where the branches are, and where the leaves are, and so on. That's the only thing I could think of. If you can think of something different, you can tell me. But that's the picture I get of it. And it says that the tree of life, bears fruit every month, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Trees bear fruit every month. So one thing is there's no ice on the river, because the trees are bearing fruit every month. Then in chapter 22 also, verse 3, we'll go to, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. No more curse. There was an awful curse placed upon creation after Adam and Eve sinned. You remember God chased them out of the Garden of Eden, and where they had the wonderful, wonderful place, but they ruined it by sin. And so mankind has been cursed ever since, and we also have been cursed. But up there, there's no curse in heaven. Verse 5 says, there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. No darkness. There'll be no darkness there, but there'll all be light. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. And I've added a little note beside it. They will need no steam turbines up there either to make light. So what I've learned, I'll have to forget about all that. You know, I can't forget it. Sometimes I wake up in the night and I think I'm designing another turbine. Now, wait a minute, I'm retired. Why am I doing this? But up there, there'll be lots of light. And the Lord God give us the light. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There'll be no separation from those who are believers, one with another. Those that have already gone to be with the Lord, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So, but there, we must be changed. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, we all must be changed. You know why? Because we could not stand it to go up through the atmosphere and through the second and third heavens. You know what the astronauts have to put on to get up in those regions? They can't take the pressure and temperature that is there. But we will be changed, it says, and caught up to be with the Lord. So that means everyone, every believer must have to be changed to go up to be with him. Then, I will read 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, the verse I was just talking about. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The key word there is changed. We shall be changed. Philippians 3. Verse 20. For our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. One thing, there'll be no more hospitals, but everlasting health. People are going to hospitals every day, it seems. And it's good we've got them. Because in the old days, real old days, they weren't able to do these things. My father died 3 weeks after I was born. A ruptured appendix because he was out on Route 20 in a little farmhouse in the snow. So he couldn't get to the hospital. A couple of days after that, a doctor from Altamont came in a horse and sleigh to come to see the newborn person, which was me. So that's the way it was in the old days, 1919, I'm talking about. But no more hospitals, no more sick people around, because we will be changed. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, reading verse 9. But as it is written, the eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So that means that things that we've seen, things that we've heard, things that we think about what heaven is like, it isn't like that. It says, if you think of these things, it's not so. Except that God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, which means when we are with the spiritual people, when we read the Word of God, when we think on heavenly things, the Spirit gives us some sense of a thought of what it might be like. But it's not that way, really. Because it says if it hasn't entered in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him, it hasn't entered into your heart. So what a wonderful thing, what a wonderful place that must be. Now, who are in heaven? 1 John chapter 5. First John 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Father, Son, and Spirit are in heaven. The triune God, the Trinity. The Trinity is in heaven. God is in heaven. Then the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, reading at verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb is when we sit down at the big table, I think. The bride is the church. The born-again Christians are the bride. The bridegroom is Christ. So we have the bridegroom and the bride there, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's one of the events that takes place in heaven. Then also there are angels there. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, who are these angels? Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? There are angels that are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Boy, that means that each of us have some guardian angel, so to speak, one who watches over us and is leading us into salvation, that ministers unto us for salvation. No, so it isn't too great of a thought to think that that same angel that ministered to me to bring me to salvation is going to be with me up in heaven. And because it says so in that other verse we just had. Then also in Luke 15 and 10. This is the story of the prodigal son. Verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth. Think of it. When one person comes to trust Christ as their Savior and is saved, there's great joy in heaven among the angels. Isn't that wonderful? Think of it. There's great joy in heaven over the angels which are in heaven. So the angels are in heaven. Now also there are saved sinners there. John 3:3. Lord speaking to Nicodemus, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born again is a born again Christian, born again sinner, born again people are in heaven. Sometimes when you speak to people and you tell them you're a born-again Christian, they say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we tell them what we mean. The Lord said you must be born again, and if you're not born again, you're not going to get to heaven. We used to have these records playing not a Victrola, but the old days. And there was one there that was sort of a Negro spiritual that said, all them that are talking about heaven ain't going there. All them that are talking about heaven ain't going there. And that's true. You ask people about it, and oh yeah, I hope I get to heaven. If you're hoping, it's no good. You've got to be sure. You've got to be saved in order to get there. Born-again Christians are in heaven. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. So they're saved sinners. We've been redeemed by his blood. That's how we've been able to get there, to be in heaven. Now, who are not in heaven? Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verses 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So people, this is a list of people that are not going to be there. Now some of people like this were that way before they were saved. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, I think, and such were some of you. In other words, you were that way, like it says here, but now you've been redeemed. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. You're changed because you're saved. So the unbelieving is one of them. Unbelieving will have their part in the lake of fire. Some people say, oh, I don't believe that. You know where that person's going. Going to hell. Lake of fire. It says so. The unbelieving will not be in heaven. Somebody said this. You know, there's really going to be believers in heaven. What do you mean by that? Everybody that there is going to be believe. People are going to be believe that heaven is true, but they're not going to be there. They're going to believe it because they're going to go to hell. Be too late to get in. But they're going to be in the lake of fire. Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. In other words, these people are going to say, don't you remember me? I did this for you. I did that for you. I gave mine to the church. I helped out the poor, and I did this, and I did it. The Lord says, Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. The only way you can come to know the Lord is receive him as your own Lord and Savior. And then you're saved. But those who don't know the Lord will think they're Christians when they're not. And they're going to get up to the door and say, Let me in. And he says, Who are you? I don't know you. And so that's the case that we have many people in today that are not going to get into heaven. Many think they're going to get there, but they're not going to be there. Who else is not in heaven besides the empty professors? The devil's unholy trinity. Revelation 20. You know, God has a trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The devil's got an unholy trinity. It's in this verse, Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So you have the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. The unholy trinity will not be in heaven. They're going to be in the lake of fire. The Lord told the people in Matthew that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's a prepared place. The Lord's prepared a place for us who are saved. But he's also prepared a place for the devil and his angels. It's a prepared place. And they're going to be there. But we're not going to be there. We're going to be with the Lord in heaven. So, if there's anybody who's not saved here, I'm trying to tell you the truth. And you better get saved. Better take trust Christ as your Savior and be saved. Otherwise, you're going to be at the door knocking, I don't know you. That's the way it was in the days of Noah and the ark. When the flood came, Noah preached for 120 years. And they thought, this guy's crazy. He's building this big boat. There's no water here. What does he think is going to happen? But it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. And they didn't believe him. Except when the flood started coming up from below, the rains came down, and all those eight people were in the ark with the animals. And it says God shut the door. Now people on the outside were scrambling up trying to get in. Too late. Too late is a bitter cry, Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. So that's the message today. We can be thankful there's such a place as heaven where we're bound to go there because Christ made it possible by shedding his precious blood for us to put away our sins and across the Calvary. If you're not saved, trust him now today. Shall we give thanks? Father, we thank thee for thy holy word, which is very plain. Thou hast shown us what to be with thee forever and ever in heaven. Thank thee, Lord, that we who have trusted thee have that peace in our souls, peace in our hearts, knowing that God cannot lie, and you have gone there, Lord, to prepare a place for us, that where thou art, we may be also. So we thank thee for this precious truth. We give thanks in thine own holy and worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to him now. It's late, but I am waiting for the dawning of that bright and blessed day. 190. I am waiting for the dawning of the bright and blessed day. When the darksome night sorrow shall have vanished far away, when forever with the Savior far beyond this veil of tears, I shall swell the song of worship through the everlasting years. I am looking the brightness, see it shining from afar, of the clear and joyous beaming of the bright and morning star, through the dark gray mist of morning do I see its glorious light. Then away with every shadow of this sad and weary night, I am looking for the coming of the Lord who died for me. All his words have thrilled my spirit. I will come again for thee. I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is longing to be with him evermore. Amen. We have a real sure hope of being there. Not like some people say, I hope I'll be there. That's not it. The sure hope is you know you're going to be there. We know it because God says so and you can't lie. Okay. Have a good day, brothers and sisters.